Roman Empire was the dominant political and military force during the early days of Christianity, with the city of Rome as its foundation. And therefore, it's helpful for us to know something of the Roman Empire at that time in order to gain a better understanding of the Christians and churches who lived and ministered in Rome during the first century AD. At the time Paul wrote the book of Romans, the total population of that city was around 1 million people. This made Rome one of the largest Mediterranean cities in the ancient world, along with Alexandria in Egypt, Antioch in Syria, and Corinth in Greece. Rome was the hub of the Roman Empire, which made it the center of politics and government. It was a relatively wealthy city and included several economic classes, including slaves, free individuals, official Roman citizens, and nobles of different kinds, political and military. First century Rome was filled with all kinds of decadence, from the brutal practices of the arena to sexual immorality of all kinds. During the first century, Rome was heavily influenced by Greek mythology and the practice of emperor worship, also known as the imperial cult. Thus, most inhabitants of Rome were polytheistic. They worshipped several different gods and demigods, depending on their own situations and preferences. And for this reason, Rome contained many temples, shrines, and places of worship without a centralized ritual or practice. Most forms of worship were tolerated, and Rome was also a home to outsiders of many different cultures, including Christians and Jews. Nobody is certain who founded the Christian movement in Rome and developed the earliest churches within the cities. Many scholars believe the earliest Roman Christians were Jewish inhabitants of Rome who were exposed to Christianity while visiting Jerusalem, perhaps even during the day of Pentecost when the church was first established. What we do know is that Christianity had become a major presence in the city of Rome by the late 40s AD. Like most Christians in the ancient world, the Roman Christians were not collected into a single congregation. Instead, small groups of Christ's followers gathered regularly in house churches to worship, fellowship, and study the scriptures together. As an example, Paul mentioned a specific house church that was led by married converts to Christ named Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila first appear in the Acts of the Apostles when Paul arrives in Corinth during his second missionary journey. Tent makers by trade, this Jewish Christian couple had recently left Rome after Emperor Claudius expelled Jews from the city. Settling in Corinth, they allowed Paul, a fellow tent maker, to stay at their home and assisted in his ministry. When Paul went to Ephesus, this holy couple accompanied him. When Paul decided to move on again, Priscilla and Aquila remained in Ephesus and let their home be used as a church. Paul's letter to the Romans indicates that Priscilla and Aquila later returned to Rome and established yet another house church there. So the story of Priscilla and Aquila also demonstrates the ease of movement that was possible throughout the Roman Empire. Roads were the lifeblood of ancient Rome. Over the course of 700 years, the Romans built more than 55,000 miles of paved highways throughout Europe, enough to encircle the globe. These engineering marvels ensured the swift movement of goods, soldiers, and information across the empire, including the ability for the gospel of Christ to spread rapidly and widely. From Paul's greeting in Romans 16, we can discern the existence of several other groupings of Christians in the city. As well as the house church of Priscilla and Aquila, two more groupings of Christians surface in verses 14 and 15. And so the evidence points to the existence of at least three house churches with the possibility of even more. According to Yale University archaeologists, the first Christian congregations worshipped in private homes, meeting at the homes of wealthier members on a rotating basis, and worship was generally conducted in the atrium or central courtyard of the house. From the New Testament itself, we learn that house church gatherings included the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, teaching, including the telling of stories about Jesus, and sharing in the Lord's Supper. I said earlier that while the people of Rome were tolerant of most religious expressions, that tolerance was largely limited to religions that were polytheistic, meaning the Roman authorities didn't care who you worshipped as long as you included the emperor, and they didn't create problems with other religious systems. That was a problem for both Christians and Jews during the middle of the first century, as both were fiercely monotheistic, proclaiming the unpopular doctrine that there is only one God and refusing to worship the emperor or to acknowledge him as any kind of deity. And for these reasons, Christians and Jews began to experience intense persecution. The Emperor Claudius banished all Jews from the city of Rome in 49 AD. That decree lasted until Claudius's death 5 years later. Christians then began to experience greater persecution under the rule of Emperor Nero. Paul wrote the book of Romans during the early reign of Nero, when Christian persecution was just beginning. Persecution then became worse near the end of the first century under Emperor Domitian. The earliest Christian converts in Rome were of Jewish origin, and the early Roman churches were dominated and led by Jewish disciples of Jesus. When Claudius expelled all Jews from the city of Rome, however, only the Gentile Christians remained, and therefore the church grew and expanded as a largely Gentile community from 49 to 54 AD. When Claudius perished and Jews were allowed back in Rome, the returning Jewish Christians came home to find a church that was much different from the one that they had left. And this resulted in disagreements about how to incorporate the Old Testament law into following Christ, including rituals such as circumcision. It was for this reason that much of Paul's letter to the Romans includes instructions for Jewish and Gentile Christians on how to live in harmony and properly worship God as a new culture, a new church. For example, Romans 14 offered strong advice on settling disagreements between Jewish and Gentile Christians in connection with eating meat sacrificed to idols and observing the different holy days of the Old Testament law. Despite these many obstacles, the church at Rome experienced healthy growth throughout the first century, which explains why Paul was so eager to visit the Christians in Rome and to provide additional leadership during their struggles. Paul, as we heard in our first service in this series, was so desperate to see the Christians in Rome that he used his rights as a Roman citizen to appeal to Caesar after being arrested by Roman officials in Jerusalem. He was sent to Rome and spent several years in a house prison, years that he used to train church leaders and Christians within the city. Although eventually released, he was arrested again for preaching the gospel under renewed persecution from Nero. Church tradition holds that Paul was beheaded as a martyr in Rome, a fitting place for his final act of service to the church and expression of worship to God. So, to sum up, non-apostolic Jewish Christians brought the faith of Christ to Rome in the early decades of the church. After generating both interest and controversy within the synagogues, Christianity was forced to reorganize in the wake of Claudius's edict against the Jews. The resulting Gentile-dominated church that received Paul's letter in the late 50s met in small groups around the city of Rome, but maintained communication and held on to a common identity and mission. Both Paul and Peter left their mark on these believers, although they merely strengthened the work that had already begun to flourish in the capital city.